Good morning, everyone. It's glad I could be with you here on this wonderful summer day. I'm really enjoying the summer, even though it's moving quite too fast. And we only have a few more weeks and it'll be over, you know. Summer, one of the shortest months. Sometimes I wish it was the longest month. But nevertheless, you know, I'm thankful that I could be here. If you would just join me and open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We're going to explore one of the characteristics that every believer should utilize in his or her daily life. And that characteristic is forgiveness. A characteristic that we as believers often overlook or forsaken, perhaps because we don't realize the importance or value of forgiveness. And so we're going to read verses 3 through 5 of Luke chapter 17. I'll give you a little more time to get there. All right, Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 3. It says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith." Here we have in these few verses we read, the Lord Jesus is telling us as we journey on our journey of faith and we encounter those that offend us or hurt us, whether it be physically, spiritually, mentally. The first thing the Lord mentioned in verse 3 is we need to rebuke that individual. We need to tell that person that what he or she is doing is wrong. Now, a lot of times that's very hard for us to do. A lot of us, we don't like to be rebuked. We don't like to be told when we are wrong. And it's just something about us, you know. We always want to be right. It's something about man. We just always want to be right. You know, I'll give you a quick example. Before I came to preach this morning, I didn't have a tie. And I got rebuked. I said, man. I was like, man, my experience already, I didn't even start to preach already. My experience is going along with my message. And I was like, man, you know, and so, you know, first Peter mentioned, but Peter did it in a loving way. He's like, oh, you know, it's all right. And then Stedmore came to me. He was a little more aggressive. I go, no, he's like, no, man, you can't go like that, man. I was like, man. And I had a choice to make. I was sitting there. I wanted to say, no, I'm good. I'm okay. But then I was like, no, you know, they're doing out of love and, you know, they're right. I might not want to agree, but they're right, you know, and so here I am with a tie, you know. And so if you wonder why the tie doesn't match, now you know. All right. And so I was like, wow, you know, and so it's not easy. It's not easy to be told when you're wrong, but no, it was good. I complied and I did it and we're all having a great time. And so, you know, I think that's one of the things that we as believers, we struggle with when we get rebuked by whether it be a brother or an elder. We're so quick to get on the defense. What is he thinking? And then, you know, but in the long run, if you think it through and you pray to the Lord, you realize the brother, he's doing it out of love. He's doing it because he loves you. You know, he doesn't want to see you do it wrong. You know, we as believers, we live to serve the living God. And part of that is helping each other in love. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to hurt one another. He wants to build us up so that we could glorify him in every step of the way. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he had the disciples, there was times where he had to rebuke the disciples, men that followed him, men that saw miracles, you know, his miracles. Did the Lord Jesus Christ rebuke him to be mean? Of course not. He did it because he loved them. He wanted them to serve his heavenly Father in a way that would be pleasing and right. And so, you know, may we be challenged, you know, when you see another individual, don't hold back. Rebuke that person. Tell that person that he or she is doing wrong. Because if we don't, we're giving the wrong message. We're saying, oh, it's okay. Yeah, you know, and God's not going to be pleased with that individual, and God's not going to be pleased with you. In the next verse, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ says, take heed to yourself. If that brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And the next part, it says, if he repents, forgive him. Now, I think this is the part I struggle with probably the most, forgiving, you know. I think many of us here could say that. a lot of times when we get, when we get offended by someone, and it depends, sometimes it depends on the level of the offense. You know, sometimes we hesitate to forgive. In this verse we read here, verse 3, the Lord Jesus doesn't give a window of time when we should forgive. He doesn't give a location, like, you know, yeah, forgive at this point, or, you know, or forgive, you know, when you feel that you're ready to. No, you know, it's like right away, instantly. If the person comes and repent, you forgive me right there and then. There's no hesitation. There's no, you know, there's no sets back right there and then. But we as believers, we struggle with that. I know I do. You know, we want to wait till we feel right. We worry about whether or not the individual repentance is genuine. Is he really repentant, or is it just an act? And because we prolong forgiveness, we end up a lot of times storing up bitter and hatred and anger towards that individual. And God doesn't want that. And because of that, we end up detonating relationships with one another. And then in the long run, when bad relationships occur, you know, more scuffles occur and more problems occur. And the Lord's saying, no, we shouldn't hold back. We need to forgive right away. And so if you're here today, I know in my life I struggle with this, and I need to pray to the Lord to give me the power to forgive. Just give me the power. And one of the things I use to help me, you know, whenever I'm struggling forgiving someone, one of the things I do is I look back sometimes to people in the Old Testament or people in the New Testament that God used to forgive other people and the struggles they went through. And a lot of the struggles they went through is much more severe than the struggles I'm going through. And that helps encourages me to forgive someone when they have hurt me. One of those people is a man named Joseph. He's in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew. Many of you are familiar with the story of Joseph, right? Joseph is one of the 12 brothers. He's one of the son of Jacob. And it's in Genesis where we read about him. And many of you are familiar with the story where his 11 brothers, sold him to slavery and threw him in a pit. It did cruel. And initially they were going to kill him at first, but they threw him in a pit and they sold him for 20, I believe it was 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites. Such cruelty. Such evilness. Here is a man, a young lad at the time, who had a heart for the Lord, and his own brothers was willing to get rid of him. And sometimes when I look at that, I'm like, whoa, okay. And many of you know what happens next, right? You know, they try to cover up. The 11 brothers, they come to Jacob, and they say, you know, your son's no more, you know, he's eaten by some beast, and they show him the blood of this wonderful coat that Jacob made for him, a coat of many colors. And his brothers, they did this evil thing because they were jealous of Joseph. They were jealous of him, and also because Joseph mentioned a dream to them, a dream in which it meant in the future his family, his brothers, would one day bow down to him. And they hated him for that. And so about 20 plus years later, Joseph is no longer in the pit. Joseph is no longer a slave. He's now second in command over Egypt. He has Pharaoh's ring. He has a gold necklace. And at this time, as he's ruler over Egypt, second command, there is a big famine that's going on. And people are starving. People need food. And the word of God tells us that people from all over the countries, they come to Joseph for food to survive. And later on, we find that including Joseph's brothers, they have to come too. They run out of food. And they make an appearance to Joseph. And I believe this is Genesis chapter 42. You don't have to turn there. Joseph sees them. And when he sees them, I'm sure he's touched. And when he sees them, he doesn't reveal himself right away. And he goes on acting like he doesn't know them. Kind of strange. Why would he do that? And his brothers don't recognize Joseph. And Joseph asks questions. He's like, you know, what are you doing here? And he accuses them of being spies. He asks them all these questions. And his brothers said, no, we're just here. We're just here to buy corn. We need food. We're just here to buy corn. And Joseph act like he doesn't even hear that. And so then Joseph then puts them in prison, his brothers, the same ones that threw him in the pit. It almost seems like Joseph is getting revenge. He puts them into prison, and then 3 days after that, he says, you know, if you really true men, if you just come here, you know, to buy corn, to get corn, you know, go and get your youngest brother, because Benjamin wasn't with them. I forgot to mention. Yeah, Benjamin was not with them. He was home with Jacob, because Jacob, he was already heartbroken from losing Joseph. And so Benjamin is there with Jacob. He said, go get him and leave one of your brothers here with me as hostage, and you go get your brother, your younger brother. And at that point, all the brothers were, the conviction started to rise up. The guilt started to rise up. He said, oh, no, no, what have we done? We shouldn't have done this to our brother Joseph. We shouldn't, the guilt, and his blood is on us now. And the little conviction started to show up. And Joseph, you know, got his servants, and they filled their sacks with corn. And they gave them their money back, their refund of the money. And the brothers went out back home to their father to get Benjamin. And as they went back, they got him. To make the long story short, it was hard. You know, Jacob didn't want to let Benjamin go. He was like, no, no. And Reuben even volunteered. He said, no, we have to. The guy said to us, if we don't bring Benjamin, we're not going to get any more corn. You know, we'll starve. Reuben said, well, you could even slay my sons if I don't bring Benjamin back with me. And so Jacob still refused. He said, no, Benjamin's not going, because he just felt in his heart something bad was going to happen. He didn't want the same thing that happened to Joseph to happen to Benjamin. But eventually they ran out of food. And, you know, sometimes extreme times bring extreme measures. And they had no choice now. He had to make a choice. And so he said, okay. And Judah said, you know, if I don't bring Benjamin back, the blame will be on me forever. And so here they are. They go back again to meet Joseph. And Joseph sees them. And when he sees them, he sees Benjamin. And the word of God says that he went aside and he wept. And through that process, you would think that Joseph is out to get revenge, the way he's treating them all mean, the way he bound Simon. And he said, go back and get, you would think that he's after revenge. But as time progresses, you see that Joseph is seeking repentance. He seeks repentance from his brothers. You know? And so we find in chapter 40, if you would turn with me to 44. We'll soon start at verse 16. After Joseph sees them, you know, Joseph then fills back, he gets the servants to fill back his brother's sacks with corn and the refund. But then he adds another new twist to the situation. He says, you know, put a silver cup and put it in the youngest, in Benjamin's sack. And as they leave, approach them and say, you know, why have you rewarded me evil for good? And so Joseph is trying to set them up. And so they did that. You know, the servants did as what Joseph said. They put the silver cup into Benjamin's sack. And as they went away, you know, they got confronted. And the servant said, you know, you've done this. What is this you have? This silver cup. They say, oh, no, we're guilty. We didn't do nothing. And they open, each one of them opened their sacks. And sure enough, there it was, the silver cup. And it was in Benjamin's bag. And they said, you know, the one who has the cup has to serve, has to be the servant, and has to face the consequence. And so in verse 16, they're all presented to Joseph. And Judah cries out. Verse 16, Judah says, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, you get you up in peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let my servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thy anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidst unto thy servants, bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou said unto thy servants, except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go again, and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brothers be with us, then will we go down? For we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces. And I saw him not since. And if you take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring not him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go to my father, and the lad be not with me? Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come upon my father. And so here, Judah and his brothers, they fall before Joseph. And Judah pleads with Joseph. He doesn't want to have to bear the face of going back to Israel to see his father, Jacob, in tears and in agony because he didn't bring back Benjamin. And Judah was willing to go to any extent for that, to avoid that from happening. And here he pleads with Joseph. He says, notice what he said, verse 16, how shall we clear ourselves? God had found out the iniquity of thy servants. There's a little confession here. He realized, man, this, I'm guilty, but please, let us also bear the consequence. And Joseph says, no, it's only for on Benjamin. And Judah says, please, my father, he won't live. He'll die if we don't bring him back. And I have to live with this for the rest of my life. And then he said, let me take his place. Let me take his place, please. And when Joseph hears that, in chapter 45, Joseph reveals himself. Joseph is touched. But previous to this, you and I, we would think that he's out for vengeance. You know, that's what makes forgiveness so hard, you know, when someone hurts us. The first response is, let him pay, man. Like, you know, revenge, let him pay. And then when he pays, then we forgive. Right? A lot of, I have to fight myself from that, you know. But that's not what Joseph was doing here. It might seem like that. Joseph, he's seeking repentance because if he wanted to, he could have had them all thrown in pit, locked up, and shipped off, or made them all starve to death. If he wanted to, he could have done it. But he didn't do that because he loved his brothers. Same way God loves us. And so in chapter 45, starting at verse 1, it says, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brothers. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of the Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth not my father live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be airing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you, a posterity in the earth. and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he had made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus said thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. And thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there I will nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept unto them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Could you imagine if you were one of the brothers that did this evil act? And the stand in front of you was the one that you threw in the pit, the one that you sold right before your eyes. They were speechless. They were in shock. They didn't know what to say. I know if I was one of those brothers, I would think, oh, my life's over. He's going to kill me. He's going to cut my head off. He's going to get rid of me. All this bad stuff I done. But Joseph doesn't do that. He says, don't worry yourself. You know, this was part of God's plan. God has used me to preserve your life. And Joseph forgave them. And man, what a tremendous story of love and compassion and forgiveness. Because after he forgave them, you know, the verse we just read, and he kissed Benjamin, the brethren start talking back with him. You can imagine they were so worried, the guilt of what they had done. And Joseph, in such a compassion, he forgives them, and there's restoration, there's peace, and there's love. Does it remind you, brother and sister, of us and God, what God has done for us? And Ephesians 1:7 says that we've been redeemed by his blood. And because of that, we have forgiveness of sins and the peace to know that we are forgiven for past, present, and future sins. There's no penalty against us. You know, the word of God talks about two kinds of sins. Two kinds of forgiveness, judicial forgiveness and parental forgiveness. Judicial forgiveness has to do with the penalty of sins. Once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Christ, he became our substitute. He bore his sins upon himself. And as Brother Mike mentioned earlier, his sins was imputed on him. Our sins was imputed on him, and his righteousness was imputed on us. And we're declared righteous because of the work at Calvary. There's no condemnation for us who is in Christ Jesus. We don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about hell, eternal separation, right? Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what that was the penalty for sin. Death. Not only physical death, but spiritual death. But we don't have to worry about that because of what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. Praise God. And we can feel peace with God. We can have this wonderful fellowship with God. But the Word of God also talks about another forgiveness, a parental forgiveness. And that's in reference of our daily walk. Yeah, once we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then we have to walk in light, right? As he is in the light. We need to fellowship with him. And, right? And a lot of times we as believers, when we forgive someone, a lot of times I was a big example of this. A lot of times when someone offends us, sometimes we just forgive them, you know? Just forgive him. But as we read in Luke chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ clearly says, if he repents, you forgive. If he repents. But a lot of us struggle with that. Like, I was guilty. I thought, forgive him, man. Christ forgave me. Yeah, just forgive them, man. And walk away. And so, if at the end of this message, all of y'all were witnesses. And I went to Annabelle. And Mike and Melina would see me. I went to Annabelle. And I took her, after the message, I took her right there and body slammed her right there on the ground. And then I went to Joe and Julie. And I saw Maggie. And they did right there. And I took Maggie and threw her in that corner. I would never do that, brother. But if I did, right? And I leave out these doors with a smirk on my face, would it be right for next week for me to come into the house of God and for Mike and Milton to come to me and say, "Hey, Brother Paul, how's it going? And how was your week? Hey, by the way, brother, I forgive you for body slamming my daughter on the other. I forgive you. And then Joey and Julie come to me. Yeah, man, I saw you through, man. Hey, it's no problem, man. You're taking it to a higher level. Don't worry about it. Right? That'd be preposterous. Number one, I'm not showing the remorse for what I've done. I'm not showing accountability for my actions, which was unglorifying to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like a slap in the wrist. It's like they're saying, "Oh, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay to body slam kids." That's wrong. No. What they should do, if they truly love me as a believer in the Lord, they should rebuke me. I don't care. Body slam me. Put me in a headlock. Do something, but don't let me walk. It's not right. But there's a lot of believers. They think that's okay. Yeah. And a lot of times people do that because they don't want to be bothered with. They don't want to bring any frustration with. And so they'll just forgive them. Oh, yeah. God forgives me. So I forgive. Yeah, God forgives you. It's true. But in reference of our walk with the Lord, don't we have to confess our sins before he forgives us? In reference of our relationship and our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I know when I commit something against the Lord, I confess my sins, right? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us. I can't just commit a wrong act and not profess it before the Lord. The Lord expects me to confess it. And in the same way with one another, we need to confess our sins before, one another when we do wrong. Rebuke when it needs rebuking. Repent when we need to repent. And forgive when we need to. It's a hard thing. It's not easy. Another thing we as believers tend to do is we tend to get the sequence. Some of us will swap the sequence. We read here in chapter 17 that we need to rebuke, repent, forgive. But some of us will switch the order around. Some of us will forgive first and then rebuke later and then hope the person repents. I used to do that myself. I remember a few years ago, many of you know I teach piano for a living. It's one of my jobs. And a few years ago, I taught this sister. I forgot her name. She went to a church in Asbury. I taught her son piano lessons. I would teach her. I would teach him at night. It was like in the Asbury Neptune area, around that area. And she had a, I don't know if he was her husband or boyfriend, because I never looked on their fingers to see if they had a ring. But they were together and they were a great couple, very nice couple, and I had no problems. I think it was like 2 years I taught their son. And then one night I come to teach, and all of a sudden I hear all this loud argument going on. And I brought my keyboard out of the car and I start setting it up. I start plugging it in and I'm just about to get ready to get into my gear of teaching. And all of a sudden I hear all this commotion and the thing about it was, the commotion was building. It was getting to a big crescendo. It was getting louder and louder. And it was getting so loud, I started to worry a little bit. I said, "Oh, this is not normal. I never heard it." And what happened was the woman was arguing with her boyfriend or husband. And I don't know what they were arguing about, but it was getting very hostile. And I felt in my heart, this is going to accumulate to the point where it's going to get physical. I knew it. I just felt it, And I said, I don't think I should be teaching piano lessons. I think he's going to get violent. A lot of profanity was being exchanged and they both were arguing each other. Each one is so, they refused to admit he or she's wrong. Like, "I'm right and you're right." And it was getting really over the top. And so I felt very uncomfortable. I mean, very uncomfortable. And so I took my keyboard, I packed it out, took the stand, went back to the car, put it in the car. And I was thinking, should I call someone for help? So I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, please help me. Please protect me, Lord. I'm going to go in there. I don't have the words to say, but give me the words to say that I could, bring down the argument and the verbal, just down and reduce it, Lord. And that everything would be calm and peace, Lord. And Lord, just please help. I just pray for my life. I'm too young to die. I actually said that. I never heard an argument like that. I'm going to be honest with you. I was a little afraid. I never heard arguments like it. And so I went back into the house and it got worse, man. He, You know, the guy was getting, and the guy was big, almost like Mike. Now, Mike is a little taller. Like a foot, you know, this guy's big, man, you know? And so they both, so here I come now, I'm trying to be like, you know, interview, I'm trying to bring the peace into the matter. And so each one's giving me their side of the story, you know? And the argument was something silly about their son being outside at I think 8:30 at night. You know, he feels that he shouldn't be outside and she feels he should. And so, you know, they're arguing. I'm trying to bring it down, trying to calm their spirits and their anger. And it didn't work, man. It just kept getting worse. It kept getting worse. And he was getting, and all of a sudden he tried to attack her. And I said, oh no. And so now I come in there, you know, I try to defend and the guy is coming from my neck and he's cursing at me. And no matter what I tried to say, it wasn't working. And I said, oh my goodness, he's going to kill me, you know, and then I don't know where some other guy, I don't know. To this day, I'm debating whether it was an angel of the Lord or if it was just some guy out of, because I never saw this guy all the years I've been teaching there. I never saw this guy in my life. I don't know where he came from. He just comes out and it helps me. I was like, thank you, Lord. You know, but the guy was, he was going crazy. He just wanted, and then after the whole situation, it just got quiet. It got real quiet. Like it is now. And I had a choice to make. Do I A, call the cops and press charges for threatening my life, almost trying to kill me? Do I B, you know, continue to teach their son lessons, but double the price for risking my life? You know? Or C, do I just totally forget them, leave them, never see their face again out of hatred and anger, just totally, and just leave? Or D, do I do all the above? Or E, do I forgive them? And it was tough, man. I was thinking it through. I was like, man, I couldn't believe this happened to me, man. This is the job I love doing, teaching piano. My life got threatened. I couldn't, and I'm there thinking, and I asked the Lord for guidance, and I thought of Moses, man. I remember Moses. Moses was a very patient guy. And as patient as he was, there was a time where Moses disobeyed God, you know, the thing about me, one of the things I struggle with, I always like to think the best of people. That's one of the things I struggle with. So I'm looking back, I was like, well, I never had this problem with them before. And the Lord said, you know, I think they just out of anger, they lost it. They just snapped out of anger. It happens. The word of God says, be slow to anger, because a lot of times when people get angry, sometimes, and I know I'm guilty of it too, like when I get angry, sometimes I do things that I normally don't do. I haven't attacked anyone yet, but you know, the point is, a lot of times when we get angry, we do things sometimes that we normally don't do. And so I said, all right, Lord, maybe I should forgive this person. And so I forgave them. And I felt peace at my heart, and so I saw them next time, because I forgot the name of the woman. The woman comes to me, she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, man. I'm so embarrassed. You come to teach piano lesson and all this. We're actually going for counseling. And I was like, wow, okay. And I still taught their son, and I didn't double the price. And everything was wonderful. But looking back, even though I forgave them, I actually did it in the wrong sequence. What I should have done, the Lord worked it out anyway. I mean, they repented, they went for counseling, and everything worked. But I shouldn't have forgiven them. I should have waited for them to repent first, and then forgive. You catch my drift. So some of you might disagree with me, and maybe I'm wrong. But that's what the Lord says. You know, we need to, you know, we need, you know, when that person, if he repents, then we forgive. You know, it's hard. It's tough. You know, we struggle. You know, sometimes I want to forgive someone and they don't repent. I say to the Lord, Lord, the person doesn't want to repent. You know, what do I do? Should I still be angry at the person? Should I have bitterness towards a person? No, you shouldn't have bitterness towards a person. You know, the Lord, you know, when we commit a sin or a trespass against the Lord, the Lord is waiting for us to repent with a forgiven heart. You know, He might be upset that we made a wrong choice, but the Lord, he's always willing. He's always merciful. You know, Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." Brother Brooke mentioned this past Thursday at the prayer meeting that God is a God of mercy, right? That his mercy endures forever. And so because of that, you know, we need to not have a heart of bitterness or revenge or anger. Because God doesn't have that with us. He's a forgiving and merciful God. And sometimes it might take a while for that person to repent. But wait patiently. Wait patiently. But you know, don't forgive before they repent. I stand by that. And so today, what we can conclude today is, based on what we read, is, number one, we need to repent when someone's doing bad, trespassing against, whether it be against the Lord or one another. Number two, that person needs to repent when he realizes he or she has done wrong. And number three, we need to forgive that individual when that person repents. Now, if that person doesn't repent, you know, that, you know, we don't forgive. In Matthew chapter 18, it says, if you turn Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 17, going back to that example I gave you with Joe and Julie and Mike and Melinda, with Annabelle and Maggie, if I decided not to confess my sin, that, you know, that what I did was wrong, then what's going to happen? Well, they need, you know, like verse 15 of chapter 18 says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." So if Mike, Melinda, Joe, and Julie, they rebuke me for what I did to their daughters, you know, in person, like, you know, what you did was wrong. I need to listen. And if I listen, I say, you know, I'm sorry, man. You know, I don't know what I was thinking, man. I was just mad the New York Giants lost and I just snapped. You know, I need to repent and forgive. Please forgive me. And they would have set me back. And, you know, and of course, even though they forgive me, Maggie and Annabelle would be probably terrified of me. But that's the process they should do. And then if I still don't listen, verse 16 of Matthew chapter 18, you know, and this speaks of, you know, discipline in the church, you know, if he will not hear thee, verse 16, then take three more mouth of, you know, witnesses that more be established. So like, you know, any one of you here, you know, could be used as a witness because y'all have seen it of the example I mentioned. And so then, you know, and if I still don't listen, then you bring it before the whole church. And then if not, then I get excommunicated, you know, almost as though I'm an unbeliever, because I'm not, you know, each one of you are doing it out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And me, out of my stubbornness and my rebellion against God, I decide I don't want to listen. So, you know, sometimes you have to let a person go and learn, I hate to say it like that, but learn the hard way, you know. And so, but notice in those verses, it doesn't say, yeah, oh, forgive him. No, you know, there has to be a responsibility on the individual. He needs to repent, you know. And so I close with this: as we live our daily lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, let us rebuke, repent, and forgive. All right? And by doing that, we'll have a victorious life in Jesus Christ when it comes to our fellowship with Him. And when it comes to our relationship and fellowship with one another, I would want you to join me in closing. If you're turning your hymnals to 605, while I do that, I'll just close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this wonderful time, Lord, where we can look at your precious word, Lord. We've been thinking about, Lord, the words mentioned in Luke chapter 17, Lord. We thank you so much that your Son has forgiven us for past, present, and future sins, Lord. And because of that, we have a wonderful relationship with you, Lord. But we just pray, Lord, that in reference of our daily walk with you, Lord, that you would just help us on a daily basis to confess our sins, because we know you are faithful to forgive them. And we pray, Lord, that even amongst each other, Lord, if there are those here, Lord, that are in need of repentance, Lord, we pray that your Spirit will convict them, Lord. We pray that you would just give them courage to admit their wrong, Lord, and to have a change of heart and to repent and confess their sins before one another. Lord, I pray that we too would just, that you just give us more courage, Lord, to forgive one another for sins that others have done to us, Lord. Lord, but, and we do it because you have forgiven us, Lord. And we know it's not easy, Lord. And Lord, may we all, as we do the sequence, may we do it in the way you want it. Rebuke, repent, and forgive. And Lord, we just thank you so much now, and may we continue to live for you in spirit and in truth. We glorify you now in your Son's most precious and wonderful name that we pray. Amen.